Welcome to the Cyber Vendor Podcast, where security-conscious individuals learn the latest cybersecurity news, tips, and trends in technology. And now, on to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. I am Andy, the Managing Consultant at Cyber Vendor. Each podcast episode here, we go over cybersecurity topics. We discuss cyber compliance and general information security or information technology topics related to small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and even individuals. This week, we're going to discuss what it feels like the whole world is discussing. That, of course, is the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And before we discuss the IT side of that and how that all affects what we're doing, I would just like to say to everyone in Ukraine that we wish you the best, and you have our thoughts and our prayers and our hopes are with you. Stay strong, Ukraine. Anyway, it is an interesting conflict in that it is a very, very modern conflict in just the fact that here I am an IT guy, I have no military background at all. I'm commenting on a military conflict in the other side of the world, and I like to actually think that my comments are really quite relevant. The war that's being fought now is an information war. It started before the actual fighting started. You can hear narratives that the Putin administration is trying to put forward. Trying not to get too political here, but needless to say, everyone involved has a narrative that they're trying to convince the world at large is true. And they do this convincing through speeches, through showing videos, through truths and lies and everything they can think of. But what's unique is the way that information reaches the people. So we'll get back to that in a minute. Before I talk about how that's happening, I want to talk a little bit about the technology used in the war itself. So, Ukraine's kind of small. They don't have a lot of an air force compared to Russia. They don't have as many tanks. But if the news reports are to be believed anyway, it sounds like they're doing quite well against Russian tanks, which they're no slouches. They're just heavy armor. These are battle tanks. And they're able to destroy them without large air support, without many tanks of their own, because of miniaturized technology like shoulder-fired rockets and, most notably, drones from Turkey. Again, not there, not an eyewitness by any means, but the news reports I've been reading were indicating that a lot of those drones have been purchased from Turkey in, I guess, the year prior to this. There's been, of course, conflict between Russia and Ukraine for since 2014, I believe that conflict began, and they've been arming up. But it's interesting that a piloted drone, an unpiloted, unmanned, remote-piloted drone, can fly into a battle zone and effectively disable heavy armor, tanks, and all that. I think that's a huge change going forward. We've been seeing the rise of the drone as a war unit, war fighting platform for quite a while, ever since early in the days of Desert Storm, if those who can remember that. But drones really are becoming more of a staple, and it's now kind of competition as to who can produce a more effective, cost-effective drone. There's a lot of talk about how much the Turkey drones cost versus the United States drones, and then the like. I'm a little concerned about the future direction of weaponry. It's becoming more automated. You hear a lot of people, I think Bill Gates was one of the ones, I think Elon Musk has also expressed reservations about artificial intelligence and the military. I have never met a military mind that didn't like the idea of getting a technological edge upon their adversaries, and often without regard to the potential consequences of that, you know, arms race of that development. It's human history, right? We're humans, and there's a good side to humans and a dark side. We have to acknowledge both. But the direction that war is taking, I think, is to shift to the more technological. I mean, come on, that's been going on for centuries, right? That started way back when someone invented the gun, and then the better gun, and then the repeating gun, and then the machine gun, and so on and so forth. Airplanes, tanks, you know, all that. It always gives you an edge. And what's interesting with the Ukraine conflict is, I mean, we've really kind of been in a conflict with Russia for a while now, before the shooting started, and other parts of the world, China, North Korea, and it's a cyber war that's happening. If there's other podcasts where I've discussed this, it's no longer the profile of who the victim is of a cyber attack, and the profile of who the perpetrator is of a cyber attack has really changed in the last 10 years. Back in the days, you know, a lot of us have this image of the college nerd snacking down on Doritos and Ho-Hos and ding-dongs in their basement, hacking away, you know, trying to deface some big company's website for, you know, I don't know, reputation, for a challenge of it. And those days are really quite gone. I'm sure that still goes on, but that's not the face of cybersecurity today. And this warning to everybody who has a business or a tiny business or just a home, every computer and every tablet and every internet connection out there, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you are a battleground in the information cyber war. You may not be attacked at the moment, but you're vulnerable, and your machines need to be defended and able to protect themselves against cyber attacks. Now, that sounds scary. There are certain advantages, though. Nobody dies in a cyber war, or at least not yet. I suppose, hypothetically, if someone were to cause a nuclear meltdown by playing with cooling systems by remote, that could happen, right? Someone could maybe shut down the power at a hospital. Someone could die. But by and large, cyber warfare, good and bad here, cyber warfare seems to be the go-to battleground for nations. I mean, China, United States, North Korea, European countries, we're all kind of battling each other in cyberspace. I mean, even allies, right? If you look back at the Snowden revelations quite a few years back, I think the U.S. was even spying on Germany. You know, it's like we're engaging in cyber warfare against our own allies, and they against us. Every nation state I know of seems to be guilty if the newspapers are to be believed. So that's that really means everybody's at the front line. Every computer's the front line of that particular war. I would certainly rather fight in a cyber war than what the people of Ukraine are facing right now. That's for sure. My computer can blue screen, and I end up having to buy a new one, and that's a far better fate than having a bullet in the arm or watching a neighbor or family member die. I don't even want to think about that. And but it does have a dark side in that it's easy. If you're a national leader and you want to put your country in front of another, and you're mad, and you got your agenda that you're trying to push, boy, is it tempting to just send your cyber guys, have them go to work, and shut down a national oil pipeline, per se. You know, we'll just make it look like a ransomware attack. And, now, who's going to know it's us, right? What's the worst that could happen? Maybe somebody figures out us and they block our IP address for a while. Nobody dies. But there's no cost to a war, war never ceases. It escalates until there eventually is a cost. And that's my concern, especially if you couple that with modern weaponry being AI-driven and being remote-piloted. It's going to get interesting in a few years when remote control becomes the battleground. What happens when one nation is fighting another, and all of a sudden all their drones stop responding and just fall in the sky, or just shut down rolling on the battlefield, or worse, get controlled and change sides. or like landmines, become this leftover that isn't necessarily controlled by anybody. And landmines are a great example. There are landmines littering countries all over the world from conflicts long forgotten that are still killing people to this day. And there are munitions that explode from World War II every once in a while. Will we end up with AI that does this? Will we end up with drones and bots that kill people decades after a conflict is resolved because they didn't get the shutdown code, or a little bit of stray bit of light hits a solar panel and they wake back up? And who knows? And it's a little further on than I care to get into in this podcast, but I could ask the question. So we've discussed, your computer's the battleground. How do you protect it? And certainly, if it is a battleground, you should be. We discuss every week's little tips, changing your password. Using two-factor authentication, that's a big one, folks. Every week I get a new customer that I hear from that got their 365 account or their Gmail account hacked by somebody because they guessed the password, even decent passwords. Two-factor is really the only way to protect against that. There are even ways around that, but at least it's a very good defense. Nothing's ever invincible. So I think it's important that everybody take any conflict like this seriously, because Russia has a well-developed cyber warfare program, and they're going to look to hurt allies any way they can. Nobody wants the current conflict to go nuclear. So there's certain lines that won't be crossed, and everybody's looking for a way to put pressure on the enemy. How do you strike at the enemy without the nukes flying? And there's a lot of precedent that cyber warfare is a bloodless warfare. We don't shoot over hacking. That's kind of an unspoken de facto doctrine that every nation I can think of has adopted. And we have to hope that continues to be the case. Again, I suppose if somebody were to take control of a nuclear reactor and shut down the cooling rods, or something of that severity, that might change. But by and large, cyber warfare is a green light, and nobody's going to go nuclear. In our current conflict, Russia has shown no shyness towards using conventional weapons to attack even civilians. So I would say everyone here should expect that their computers be under attack by Russian forces in any minute. Why wouldn't they? There's not going to be any nuclear blowback from that. That I could think of. I mean, certainly I don't think Putin would think that. Even most people wouldn't suspect that. So it's definitely a rallying call for all of us to take cybersecurity more seriously in a way we never have before. Because it is, certainly in Putin's mind, this is a battle of East versus West. Russian sphere of influence versus the Western sphere of influence versus NATO. The rest of us didn't see that way until the shooting started. You know, I kind of think he's a little outdated in his viewpoint. I don't want to get too political here, so I won't go in depth there. But as long as somebody thinks that there is that battle between East and West, then you can be sure that someone will be fighting with that conflict in mind, with those sides drawn. And if you are in the West and you own a computer, you are a valid target. You are a perfectly legitimate target. So do the things. Get your antivirus, change your passwords, upgrade your security, do better with your backups, hire that cybersecurity consultant you've been thinking about bringing in to do a vulnerability check. All those things you've been putting on the back burner, now is the time. This is quite literally a call to arms. And again, in the United States, I am very grateful that my call to arms is digital, not physical. I certainly don't mean to make light of the very real war that's happening in Ukraine. And again, I said this before, I'll say it again gladly. My heart goes out to everyone in Ukraine. And I certainly hope that kind of warfare comes to end very quickly. But it behooves all of us to know that we're in a fight of some kind. And anything that any information we have can be used against us. And the information you put in social media can be used against you someday. The information you put online can be used against you. And it's not the criminal down the street you have to worry about. It's another nation. And maybe you find yourself in a situation like Ukraine where your country's being attacked and you've got all this data out there. Does the enemy have that data? I mean, a lot of the time it's, yeah, they paid for it before the conflict began. Who knows what Russia has from Facebook? I mean, a lot of data is just marketing data. Anybody could buy it if you have money. Countries have money. Even broke countries have money. Governments always have money. Some kind of money, anyway. Enough to buy marketing data. So that's another area to be careful about. Be careful what you post online. I advocate that a lot. I'm not a big fan of social media. Our company has a fairly limited precedence just for that reason. The owner and myself, we're not big Facebook users. Meta users. We're not big Meta users. For that kind of reason. But in any case, it's going to be interesting to see. I don't know what I want to predict. More questions I'm asking. And I think I will leave you all with those questions in your back of your mind. till our next podcast. Till then, everyone have fun in Ukraine. Stay safe, and God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information on how to keep yourself and your business safe, visit us at www.cyberventure.com. Thanks for listening.